Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And your host this morning is Mia Sumtalatus. Welcome to this early morning edition of Deutsche Welle's Africa Link. Coming up, Boko Haram kidnaps dozens in Cameroon.
The people say at least 60 or 80 of their loved ones were taken back to Nigeria by the suspected members of the Nigerian militant group Boko Haram.
And in football, Ghana's Black Stars take on Senegal's Lions of Teranga. But how prepared is Ghana's team?
On the injury side, it has not been too good for Ghana. Central defender John Boy was rushed to the hospital. Standout striker and captain of the team, Asamoah Gyan, has not been able to train for the past 3 days.
There's stories and more coming up right here at Africa Link.
Top story.
We begin in Cameroon, where suspected Boko Haram Islamist fighters have kidnapped around 80 people and killed 3 others in a cross-border attack. Many of the kidnapped are children and women. Our correspondent in Cameroon, Imoke Kindeka, has been giving me the latest.
Cameroon military has not made a statement so far, but in a telephone interview I conducted with some residents of Turu, that is on the border with Nigeria, there were hundreds of suspected members of the militant group who attacked 2 villages on the border with Nigeria. They went from house to house and took all the women they met and all the children they met. The people say at least 60 or 80 of their loved ones were taken back to Nigeria by the suspected members of the Nigerian militant group Boko Haram. Now, they are still counting the number of people who were taken to Nigeria because the information they have is still early. And secondly, they say many people were killed. They don't yet know the number, but they say when the militant group entered some of the houses, those who resisted were slaughtered like goats, really slaughtered. That's what the people are saying out there. I tried to get the Minister of Communication, who is government spokesperson, this morning, and he said he was still gathering the information and will be informing us later. But if there's one thing to be known also is that it is not up to 3 days that Cameroon military said they got information that the militant group was planning raids in the area and went there and arrested quite a good number of people who are suspected to have been collaborating with the militant group, who are told that some councillors, that is some highly placed people in the municipal council in the area, were suspected to have been collaborating with the Nigerian militant group.
Chad has deployed troops to combat Boko Haram in Cameroon and Nigeria as part of a regional bid to combat the insurgency. Do you think this will help to stop Boko Haram attacks, these regular attacks that have been happening in Cameroon and Nigeria?
What may be happening very soon, since the Chadian soldiers are already in Cameroon, in fact, thousands of them came to Cameroon in about 400 military trucks, and they also had military helicopters that will be helping in the fight. Now, we are afraid, the people here are afraid, that what is happening in Nigeria may be happening in Cameroon soon.
I was speaking to Moke Kindeka there, and in northern Nigeria, a suicide bomber has killed 4 people and wounded dozens in an attack on a bus station in Postecoglou, Yobe State. The incident occurred early morning on Sunday, and the target is said to be the temporary motor park where travelers were boarding commercial vehicles to Bauchi and Plateau States. For more, here is Mohammed Alamin.
A source from Potiskum Hospital said 5 bodies were deposited at the hospital morgue and over 40 injured were receiving treatment. Hawkers, traders and mechanics operating close to the market were the most affected by the blast. Eyewitnesses say the target was the temporary motor park where travelers were boarding commercial vehicles to Bauchi and Plateau State. There was no immediate claim of responsibility, but the town has often come under attack from Boko Haram militants. Brutal raids, massacre, suicide bomb attacks and kidnappings by Boko Haram have claimed at least 13,000 lives and driving an estimated 1.5 million people from their homes, mainly in northeastern Nigeria. President Goodluck Jonathan visited Maiduguri, the capital of volatile Borno State, on Thursday, where he commended Nigerian troops for their efforts in curbing the Boko Haram insurgency, which has so far claimed thousands of lives in Borno, Adamawa and Yobe States. The last time Jonathan visited Maiduguri was in March 2013. A few days later, emergency rule was declared in Borno, Yobe, and Adamawa states. Umar Adamu, a political analyst, believed that the visit will not change anything.
This visit may not likely change anything. This government lacked the capability or the capacity to address what is happening in Borno and Northeast sub-region. Therefore, all people need is change.
What type of change?
We mean we need a serious-minded people to be in government. We need a serious government that have the capacity to address the problem of the people in those affected areas.
Women rights groups have expressed their anger over the inability of the federal government to stop the insurgency. Dr. Elisa Daladi is the coordinator, Development Initiative for African Women.
It's really unfortunate, and I tell you, our heart is bleeding for the government. We are not happy about it, and strongly we're calling with strong voices for the government to come and intervene and save our faces and save our children and save our young girls.
Over the weekend, the emir of Kano, Muhammad Sunusi II, reiterated his call on the Muslims to defend themselves against Boko Haram insurgency in the country, stressing that the first responsibility of the state is to protect life and properties of its citizens or it loses the basis of its existence.
Mohamed Alamin with that report. You're listening to Deutsche Welle's Africa Link with me, Assumpta Latus.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent. Here on Africa Link.
And now let's talk about the Africa Cup of Nations Group of Death, Group C, that springs to life today with the title favourites Algeria, former champions Ghana, South Africa and Senegal seeking winning starts. Ghana and Senegal get the ball rolling at the 15,000 capacity Nuevo Estadio de Mongomo, followed by Algeria against South Africa. Group C is arguably the strongest since the competition was first staged 58 years ago. My colleague Isaac Mugabe has been speaking to Godfrey Akoto, a Ghanaian journalist covering the tournament, on the preparedness of the Black Stars.
Well, the Black Stars have looked really ready in camp. Almost two tournaments where I've noticed no visitors allowed in the camp of the Black Stars. It looks like new manager Avram Grant is going for total focus for his team. On the pitch, he has also been experimenting with a very strange 3-5-2. And I say strange because it is a very unfamiliar tactics that Ghana does not necessarily use. On the injury side, it has not been too good for Ghana. Central defender John Boy was rushed to the hospital. Standout striker and captain of the team, Asamoah Gyan, has not been able to train for the past 3 days. He's also been bogged down with malaria.
Okay, now how big a blow is it to Ghana's team of these key players like Asamoah Gyan, you've just mentioned the captain, that they don't be playing the first game?
For Asamoah Gyan, that is as big a blow for Ghana because he is the source of goals for the national team. He leads the team's attack. And it is not just the goals. It is the leadership he provides. It is the fact that if things are not going well, there is one person they can always rely on, Asamoah Gyan. So if he's not able to make the game this evening, I think that they're going to give this a heavy push as they can. If he does not make the game this evening, I have a feeling that it is going to be a very, 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 very big loss for Ghana.
And there have been issues about bonuses in the past for the team. Have they been resolved this time round?
Yes. Fortunately for the team, this was a situation that was worked out back in Accra before the team departed. The ministry and the Football Association did not want the Brazil scenario. So this situation was worked out. There were initial hiccups in the negotiations, but they were able to resolve the issue.
How do you rate the organization of this event in Equatorial Guinea? I mean, do you think it should have been postponed after we heard of, you know, insecurity fears and rowdy fans invading a media room? What do you think of the organization?
Well, I think the organization has been half and half. I think that if in a place like Mongomo, where Ghana is going to play, you look at a stadium that was supposed to be built in 2 years, has been completed in almost 60 days. And this is a brand new stadium, the new Estadio de Mongomo. Movement around the country is also a bit difficult because air travel, air transport is not the best. So a lot of people are using roads to travel. But we must also say that the highway facility here in Equatorial Guinea is of a world-class standard. You cannot really use internet anywhere in the country. And for a journalist who is covering a global event like this one, it becomes a bit of a problem. And then finally, there's a small problem of the high cost of living here.
Godfrey Akoto, a journalist covering the Africa Cup of Nations. Zambians prepare to head to the polls tomorrow, Tuesday, in a by-election to choose a new president who will replace Michael Sata, who died last year. Analysts say the ruling Patriotic Front is determined to win, but the opposition should not be underestimated. Eunice Wanjiru has this report.
Zambia's ruling party, the Patriotic Front, has been rocked by political infighting. Since the party's leader and president of Zambia, Michael Sata, died in a London hospital in October last year, two differing camps emerged within the party. Each group nominated rival candidates for the presidential by-election. Zambian political analyst Boniface Chembe says the political divide within the ruling party gave opposition parties a head start for their campaigns.
Well, I think the split in the ruling PF basically gave a political momentum to the biggest threat in terms of the opposition political parties, that is the United Party for National Development. They were able to have a head start in terms of campaigns, but also in terms of their messaging. And we believe that it is because of this that they've been able to get a number of endorsements that have put them in a poor position to compete favorably and at least be in a position to even form the next government.
The infighting became known to the public after a faction loyal to acting President Guy Scott chose the late President Sata's nephew, Miles Sampa, as its candidate, while a breakaway group named Defence Minister Edgar Lungu as their leader. The simmering split deepened after Scott sacked Defence Minister Lungu as Secretary General of the party. But riots broke out in the capital, Lusaka, forcing Scott to reverse his decision a day later. In December, Zambia's Supreme Court declared Lungu as the presidential candidate for the ruling party. Acting President Scott accepted the court's ruling and agreed to field a joint candidacy with his rival camp. Scott is barred by constitution from standing for the presidency due to his Scottish parentage. Helmut Elisha, director of the Friedrich Ebert Foundation in Lusaka, thinks that PF has higher chances of winning the election in spite of the split.
Even though that PF has quite a few problems, the chances they win again the elections are there. The second most challenging contender currently, I would say, is UPND Vifaka in the Hichilema.
Just as PF has been rocked by splits, the Movement for Multi-Party Democracy, MMD, has had its problems too. Former President Rupia Banda announced that a committee of the opposition had elected him as its candidate for the election. But rival Nevas Mumba, the party's president, turned to the court to challenge that decision. Zambia's Supreme Court ruled that the procedure to nominate Banda was unlawful. Banda then dropped out of the campaign, leaving Nevas Mumba as the official candidate for MMD. Analyst Chamber believes the race is very tight, especially between PF and Hakainde Hichilema of UPND.
Well, the race is very tight so far. Whichever part of the country you go to and you ask the electorate, they cannot tell you outrightly who is going to win. When you talk to the political parties themselves, more specifically, the two front runners, the ruling PF and the opposition UPND, they are able to speak categorically and in absolute terms that they'll win.
Whoever wins the election will be in office for less than 2 years, as the country is due to hold a general election in 2016.
That was Eunice Wanjiru. And let's sit back now and enjoy our Learning by Ear Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello. Glad you tuned in for this next episode of Crossroads Generation, our radio series about a group of young Africans and the challenges they face in their daily lives.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
We're in the middle of the third season called Facing the Future. Last time, the university students Mercy and Trudy were worried about their friend Tina.
We missed you in class yesterday and today. Are you okay, Tina?
I'm fine. I'll talk to you later.
Tina, wait. What? Did she just hang up on you?
Trudy and Mercy don't know what kind of work Tina does on the side, but we'll come to that later. Mercy has some other things on her mind. The father of her boyfriend Nikki is in hospital, but when she went to see him, Nikki's mother didn't give her a friendly welcome.
Young girl, please, wait outside.
If she goes, I go. Wait, Mercy, where are you going? Wait!
Good riddance.
Mercy!
On top of all that, Mercy's family is dealing with a dark chapter in its history. 4 years ago, Mercy's father sold his newborn baby to the politician Mukaraba. Now he's trying to make it right by testifying in court. This would be a big surprise for Mukaraba, who thought it was going to be easy to dismiss the case. This 14th episode, called A Pain in the Neck, starts in the courtroom.
So, Mr. Mukaraba, are you ready for our next day in court?
Of course I am. With you as my lawyer, I have nothing to fear. Besides, this whole case is ridiculous. They might as well declare me innocent right now.
Silence in court. The prosecutor will call the first witness for today.
Our first witness is Mr. Msotho.
What?
Silence! Silence in court! This is the final warning. One more outburst like that and I will have all of you thrown out of the courtroom. Prosecutor, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. State your name for the record.
My name is Msotho.
Mr. Msotho, according to Inspector Mary, you're willing to tell us your side of the story, even if this means incriminating yourself?
That's right.
Then please start by telling the court what your relationship with the child in this case is.
I am her biological father.
Where were you when the baby was born?
At home with my wife.
And what happened immediately after the baby was born?
I took her and gave her to Councillor Mukaraba.
Why?
That was the agreement. I knew that he wanted a child and that he couldn't have one himself.
That is nonsense. I can father as many children as I like.
Silence!
They're talking nonsense.
Silence, Mr. Mukaraba. Please go on, Mr. Soto.
At the time, I thought he could take care of our child better than we could. We had money problems, and we were not able at the time to take good care of her. But I regret what I did then. And King Karubu, my savior, knows that...
Did Mr. Mukaraba pay you money as part of this agreement?
Yes, he gave me some money, but...
Some money? It was more than...
Mr. Mukaraba, I would advise you to be quiet now.
You are fired! What kind of lawyer are you? If you didn't even know that Msotho would testify.
Mr. Mukaraba, please...
Don't talk to me!
Excuse me, Your Honor, could we take a short break, please? No!
Mercy, wait. Mercy.
Leave me alone, Nikki.
Mercy, I'm sorry about my mother. She can be a pain in the neck sometimes. Oh, Mercy, come on. You know what my mother's like. She can be rude and arrogant, but she can't change my decision to be with you.
She hates me, Nikki. What did I ever do to her?
Just ignore her, Mercy, darling. I love you.
You have a strange way of showing it. Why haven't you been taking my calls?
I sent you a text, didn't I?
My father's sick in hospital. That's what you wrote. But that doesn't explain why you don't pick up when I call or why you haven't called me back.
Mercy, I'm just confused. I don't know how to deal with...
With my daughter, Linda? Just say it. What I thought.
Mercy,
You've been avoiding me ever since I brought my daughter to live
with me. No. It's not even like that.
I always knew your mother didn't like us being together. And that she hates the fact that I have a child who isn't yours. But I thought that was just her. Oh, great. Goodbye, Nikki.
Mercy.
car drivers. Leave me alone.
Hey, Mercy, it's me, you idiot.
Oh, Tina. Sorry, I thought it was some old guy trying to seduce you from his car.
Mercy, you're so stubborn.
Hey, what's up? You look sad.
I just had a fight with Nikki.
Sorry to hear that. Hey, Mercy, listen. I'm sorry I was abrupt on the phone last time you called. It wasn't a good time. How about I make it up to you and take you out for a drink tonight? We can drive around in this nice car.
I didn't even know you knew how to drive. Whose car is it? It's so nice.
Well, it's mine.
What? When did you...
Mm-hmm.
How? Where did you get the money to buy such an expensive car?
You actually believed me? No, It belongs to a friend.
Tina, I don't know. I have a lot of catching up to do. And I don't feel like...
Come on. It will take your mind off that fight with Nikki and everything. Hey, I might even let you drive.
But I don't know how to drive.
Oh, it's easy. I'll show you.
I don't know.
Well, I'm not forcing you. Just thought it could be fun. I'll pick you up tonight, okay?
Aren't you going to class?
Next time. I have something else to do right now.
But Tina!
See you later.
Days takings before Mkaraba comes bursting in. Oh, hi, boss. How was your day?
Who the hell does this Msoto think he is? Doesn't he know who I am? Damn! He should know better by now.
Take it easy, boss. What happened?
That pain in the neck showed up in court as a witness. Can you believe it? The fool has turned against me. After I warned him again and again.
Hey, that's pretty stupid of him. I mean, he's the one who sold the baby to you. He's just implicating himself.
That's the thing. He did it anyway. I'm still trying to understand why. Maybe this Inspector Mary has offered him a deal or something.
Then offer him money. Money always works magic, especially if someone loves the bottle like he does.
Ah, you think I haven't tried that? I don't think it will work any longer. Apparently he's now a servant of the mighty King Karubu, whoever that may be. No, I think I need to try something different.
Wait, King who? Sorry, boss. I think you should talk to the judge. You're a respected leader after all. People listen to you, especially when you come bearing gifts.
Wait. Are you suggesting I bribe the judge?
Exactly.
Good idea. Except that you will do it, Mnene.
What? Sir, why me?
Because I say so.
Boss, I think that...
I don't pay you to think, Mnene. You will do as I say, and that's that.
And that's also where we end our program for today. But don't worry. The next episode is not far off, and you can always check our webpage for more information about Crossroads Generation at dw.de/LBE. Until next time, bye-bye.
And before we go, here is a summary of what we have been covering. Suspected Boko Haram Islamist fighters have kidnapped around 80 people and killed three others in a cross-border attack. Zambians prepared to head to the polls on Tuesday in a by-election to choose a new president to replace Michael Sata, who died last year. And we have also been hearing on the preparedness of Ghana's Black Stars for the Africa Cup of Nations. And that's it for today. For comments or questions, send us an email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. Till tomorrow, I'm Assumpta Latus. Thanks for listening.